your mind, of your consciousness, and your whole world then starts to take on that consciousness. You see? So you can't hold all that hatred and all whatever else is going on inside and have a wonderful life. You just have to make up your mind that it's a wonderful world. And it will be a wonderful world. That's the power that we have. It's done always with our mind and our mind alone. There is nothing else going on out there. All right, I've told you many times that I came from the land of Nod. And the land of Nod is right past the land of Blame. And we're going to talk about blame tonight and why we blame. Does anyone know what we blame most in life for everything that goes on? We blame God, because God is there, and we blame God, God, God. God is never to blame for anything, and we are never to blame for anything. You cannot have a consciousness of blame. If you do, it's not going to work for you. When I was had the church, I used to do ministerial counseling for young people who were going to get married. And I said, do you blame anyone? Do you have any blame going on at all in your consciousness? Well, you know, my boss, my this, my that. I said that then you can't get married. If there's blame going on, what will happen is you will marry. And that blame, you will focus on the other person. You will start to blame the other person for everything. You don't want to be around a blaming person, and you don't want to be a blamer yourself. It gets you absolutely nowhere. So if you have any blame going on towards anything or anybody, just let it go. Forgive yourself and let it go. It will not do you one bit of good, blame. It will only make you feel bad about yourself and about the world itself. And that's the problem today with our world. We blame everybody. And we see it constantly, this blaming. Look at your dear friend, Donald Trump. He's blaming everybody and everything he can get his little grubby hands on. Do you want a president like that? I don't. And I'm not telling you what to do. Voting, that's your thing. But you cannot be around people who blame, who constantly blame something. This universe, this thing that we call God, does not blame anybody. See, so we have to get rid of that idea. I think we do that to soften our egos and so forth. We can blame it on somebody else. But you can never blame anything on anybody else. Whatever is happening in your life, you are causing. I don't care how horrific that may be, you are causing it. And you have to come to that conclusion and say, I'm not blaming anyone, I'm not blaming myself, and I'm certainly not blaming God or the universe. I'm going to take full responsibility for this, and I'm going to let it go. I am going to let it go, because it'll do nothing for you, no good whatsoever. Over the weekend I was watching public television, and they had her last name was Kaur, K-O-R, and I forget, and it was May or something, her first name. She was a Holocaust survivor, but her story of the Holocaust was she was one of the Mengele twins. You know, Mengele always was experimenting with twins because he wanted all German women to have two children at once, you know, double births, so they could repopulate Germany quicker. But she came to the conclusion, she was 11 years old when she was rescued from the concentration camp. And she said, I made up my mind, she married somebody from Terre Haute, Indiana, to forgive and not blame anyone for this. She said, what good would it do for me to blame anything? She said, I was 11 years old, I got out of the concentration camp, all my family was gone. She said, I knew I'd never be hugged or kissed by my parents again. But she said, I made up my mind to do something wonderful with that and not blame, to forgive. And she went back to the concentration camp. I don't know, she must have been in her 90s, to leave a letter saying that she had forgiven everyone in the concentration camp. You know, and it's a hard thing to do because that was a horrendous thing. But she knew. She said, you want my recipe? She said, my recipe for happiness is you have to forgive. And she said she ran into another woman who also went through the concentration camp and said, oh, no, I'm going to be mean and bitter the rest of my life. I'm going to be angry and all this. And she looked at the woman and said, what good is that going to do you? And do you think that's honoring your parents to keep that going and to be mean and bitter? So you have to forgive everything. Now we hear that constantly, don't we? But there's power in forgiving. There's no power in blaming. The world blames. That's what is wrong with our world. Everyone blames everybody else for everything instead of saying, I'm going to take responsibility for this. And I think the more you take responsibility for those things, the less they happen to you. They stop happening. You see, it's the blame, because we think we have to blame somebody. Do not do that. For the people who are still reading, thank and grow rich. Pam, on one of the pages there, said, when did we turn God into such a prick? And that's what we did to God. We turned God into a prick. And we still do that, don't we? Because we say, God's going to get you. And we think that this power is out to get us. This power we call God or the universe is never out to get us. It's here to help us. It wants to work with us. It wants to play with us. And we must learn how to accept that, how to see that, and how to use that to our advantage instead of buying into all the other stuff that goes on out there. Many people think that they can change the mind of God. And they think they can change the mind of God through prayer and affirmations and all this. God is not affected by any of that stuff, people. God is constant. God never changes. That's why God loves everyone, every moment, constantly. You cannot change the mind of God. The only thing you can change is your mind. And you must change your mind to realize that you truly are connected to a power for good in the universe. And you can learn to use that power. But we were not taught that as children. At least I wasn't taught that as children. I was taught that you better behave or God's going to punish you. You better behave or God is going to punish you. God is not going to punish you. I use this expression all the time, and I hope I use it enough that you know it, have it memorized, and use it. And the expression is, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God is not that type of thing. We must give up that idea that God is a superhuman being, or that God looks like us, or that we look like God. This is not true. We are made in the image and likeness of God, but inwardly, God doesn't run around looking like people. People run around looking like God, though. You see the difference? We do. But this thing called God is an intelligence. It's a force. It's wisdom. It's life itself. And we must see that and feel that in our own minds, and we do that by giving up all that twaddle that we've learned in churches. That God wants you to do this, God wants you to do that. No one knows that. No one knows what God wants. See? But they say, people want to know, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? The will of God is good and only good. That is the will of God. And that's what God wills for all of us. Good and only good. And we must remember that. There is nothing outside of us that can hurt us in any way. It's always going to be an inside job. It's going to be done with your thinking, which is the thing that we can change constantly. We can change our mind. Bring it in to the alignment of the divine mind. You see? Everyone wants to take this thing we call God, which is infinite, which no one's mind can comprehend what infinite means. You know, we can't comprehend that. We know it's big, it's this, it's that. But we don't know exactly what infinite means. But what people try to do is bring the infinite down to the finite. And that's why it doesn't work. You must take the finite and raise it up to the infinite, so that you are thinking God thoughts after it. You are thinking God thoughts after it. We're the ones who do that. We're the ones who make that. So, if you're blaming and so forth, you're not aligning yourself with the mind of God. And that's what we're here to do, to align our minds with the vibrations of the universal mind, or the mind of God, or that divine buzz that's going on in the universe, which if you take time, you can hear it. But you have to remove yourself from all the other distractions. We get so distracted, we can't hear this thing called the universe talking to us at all. And the universe is always talking. Very chatty thing. Very chatty, the universe. And we have to learn to hear that conversation. That everything is all right. That the world is wonderful. The universe is wonderful. That there's not all this destruction and so forth going on. Years ago, at a religious science conference, some woman, and I don't remember her name, very old at the time, stood up in the religious science conference and said, there is no war in the mind of God. And that was, of course, during the Second World War. People were appalled that she could say something like that. But she's absolutely right. You can't have a God with war going on in the mind. You just can't have that. war goes on in our mind, and that's one of the things that we can correct. And we can align ourselves with the divine mind so that we don't keep causing wars all over the place. War, remember that was, I guess, in the 70s or something, those signs used to say, war is not healthy for children and other living beings. Children. We can't have that kind of stuff going on. But we get that stuff. And then, of course, have a war. If you want to see blame, people will blame the war on everything but their own selves and their own mind. There is no war in the mind of God. And there must be no war in our minds. No war in our minds. It's the only way that we can eradicate it, and eradicate it for good. The master teacher Jesus said, if you want to destroy your enemy, love them. If you want to destroy your enemy, love them. Because if you're holding hate and all that against your enemy, you're going to be right into a war. But when you realize that you can change that in your own thinking, I have to do it constantly, especially if I turn on the TV and I see all that stuff going on. I have to say to myself, there is no war in the mind of God. There is no war in my mind. Peace prevails throughout the universe. Peace prevails throughout the universe. This is what we want. We want all these things. And we must do something about it. We must learn to think differently. We must learn to see things differently. It's done with our minds. It's done with our minds. And what we're doing right now, of course, we're living in collective consciousness. You see, society, culture, has made up this world at the present moment. And I agree with some of the politicians that there has to be a change. There has to be a shift in how the whole thing is working. But not with violence, not with blame, with love. With love. Yes.
So, how can you love somebody that has just killed your family and lots of other people's families?
Yes, how do you do that?
Is it possible to love somebody?
You have to listen to your mind and correct it. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Do you remember when they broke in in Lancaster County? In the Amish country, they broke into that school and killed all those girls. What did the Amish do that evening? They went right to the house of the killer, to the wife, and forgave. And forgave and forgave. A horrendous thing to do. But we have to do it. You see, we can't spurt all this stuff out. I'm so spiritual, I'm this and that, but I'm going to kill you. You can't do that to yourself. You see? And why that incident happened, I have no idea. Well, I am very proud of the Amish people. They immediately took care of it. They went to the man's funeral and everything else. Now, what else did they do that's very significant? They immediately tore down that school and relocated it so there's no memory there. when they did that stuff in Columbine, they're right back in the building again. You can't do that kind of stuff. When you forgive, you have to forgive everything, and you have to erase the whole thing. Does that help you at all, Jerry?
Yeah.
You have to learn to do it, you know, and you can do it. I'm no mother.
Part of me understands the part about forgiving. I mean, I can intellectualize how, you know, you can forgive somebody. I mean, I do it every day for people just making mistakes. You know, you have to, but something that horrific, I think, would be kind of challenging. You know, but to actually love them, I kind of thought that same thing.
You don't want to do it.
Well, I think it's beyond my reach.
Well, then,
like
okay. Just say that right now. I cannot accept that, but I'm working on accepting it. When I can't get anything, I just put it on the shelf till I get enough knowledge to take it off the shelf and use it. But I never throw out the baby with the bathwater. And so many people, especially when it comes to forgiving an enemy, they think they cannot do it. And you can do it. And it'll be better for your life when you do it, when you do that. So, war is absolutely not necessary. Absolutely not necessary. And I don't care what economics tell you, that we need all that to keep the economy going. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said, what we need right now is a splendid little war. My mother was the same way. Whenever the economy was faltering, she said, you know what we need is a war. That'll solve that problem. Well, it won't solve that problem. It'll solve a problem, but not the main big problem. The main problem in life is to learn to see everything through the eyes of love. To see everything through the eyes of love. I used to tell clients that in the morning, what they should do is get up and immediately reach for their love glasses and put their love glasses on, so that they're seeing through the eyes of love. Very simplistic, but very, very effective. So in the morning, say to yourself, I'm putting my love glasses on, and I'm going to see the world through the eyes of love. There's no blame in my life. There's no blame in my reality. That belongs to other people. It does not belong to me, and it does not belong to the universe that I live in. It may be somebody else's universe, but it's not my universe. Not my universe. If we're ever going to change, we have to start thinking differently. We have to start seeing things differently. Otherwise, we just keep repeating. And that's what's wrong with history. It just keeps repeating itself. I have a cute one here. I love this one. Winston Churchill's definition of history. One damn thing after the other. And he said that. One damn thing after that. Which is true, it's just one damn thing after the other. But you just look at it and say, and don't fall into all that trap. Don't fall into it. Learn to see it differently. Learn to see it the way you want to see it. This is a metaphysical teaching, people. We use our minds to change the outside reality. You know, we're alchemists. Absolutely alchemists. We take one thing and change it into something else. And that's what our minds do. And that's the power that we have to be able to change the reality that we're living in, to be able to change ourselves, to be able to change ourselves. And to be able to change yourself, you must start with what? Self-love. Self-love. And then ask yourself, how can I change? And it doesn't have to be dramatic and so forth, or difficult. It can be a slow little thing, but you're creeping along doing it. You see? As long as you keep creeping, you're going to get there. It's when you stop that you've stopped. You can never stop. You can never stop believing in the universe, in God, and in yourself. You must believe in these things. And your life will change. Your world will change. So if you're going to stay in the metaphysical field, try to do more than manifest a parking spot. That's an easy one, manifesting a parking spot. But manifesting yourself into a radiant being, a little more difficult. But it can be done, and it's fun. You must have fun. You must have fun. You must have fun. That's the whole premise of this Pam Grouse book, Thank and Grow Rich. Have fun with it. Have fun with it. And have fun in your own way. All the things in that book are wonderful. And they were all her divine ideas. You can use them, but then go and have your own way of doing it. You always have to remember that you are an individualized expression of this thing called God. You say, you don't want to imitate anybody, even though they say imitation is the best part of flattery. I don't believe it. I don't want to imitate anybody. I want to be my own person, thinking my own thoughts and controlling my thinking. Controlling my thinking so that I can have peace of mind and I don't have to apologize. I don't have to blame anybody. I can just be. I can just be. I don't have to explain myself. I do not have to do that. That's an old way of thinking. God never asked you to explain yourself. God never would do that. God just constantly loves you just the way you are. A wonderful concept to let it sink in. So I said this teaching is very simple. People want to make it complicated. And they want to say, well, I'm closer to God because I do 12 steps or I pray or I... We're all that close to God. We can't get any closer to God. What did it say in the Bible? God is in your nostrils. In your nostrils. The breath, everything around you is God. So you can't be separated from that. That is your birthright. That is your birthright. But somewhere we got off the beam and we started to blame, we started to do all this kind of stuff, which is absolutely unnecessary. Stop blaming anybody for anything. We love to blame God for the most part, and then the next step down is your parents. Let's blame them. After all, they deserve it. Your parents deserve nothing but your love. You know, They may have been difficult. They may have been all that kind of stuff. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are you thinking about them? Are you holding them in the highest of esteem? You see? You must hold everyone in the highest of esteem. I have difficulty with that sometimes. I don't want to hold somebody in the highest of esteem. I think they're an idiot. But I have to sit and change my mind over the whole thing and realize that everything and everyone is God. Once you realize that, take it with you everywhere. When you're going to meet people, you're going to meet God. When you're having people into your house, you're inviting God into your house. This is how you have to start thinking. We are all gods and goddesses. And we must learn to treat ourselves that way and to treat other people that way. And treat other people that way. Sometimes, not lately, I've been working on it, I don't like it when people don't do the things I want them to. And I don't like it when people don't do things my way. But I'm learning to give that up and to realize that's not my job. You see, that is not my job. So, I'm thinking of a Bible response here, which is, we are not the ones to judge. We know that God doesn't judge, so why are we judging? Why are we putting ourselves above God? And we do that when we judge things. And we were taught to do that. From day one, we were taught to judge. I read once where if the mind didn't judge, we'd never get tired. It's judging, judging, judging all day long that makes you tired. If you just would let everything come to you, flow to you, you could probably stay up around the clock. You see, judging and blame take a great deal of energy. And who wants to do that? Who wants to hold on to anything anymore? I certainly don't. I want to be free. Free just to be. Just to be. I don't have to explain it to anyone. I just want to be free. And the only way you can be free is to stop judging and stop blaming. Because when you judge, you're drawing that person to you or that situation to you. And when you blame, you're doing the same thing. You're drawing the wrong energy to you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I had a client over the weekend. She was very upset. She's a metaphysician. She used to come to class. She was having a horrible time because somebody said something mean about her husband. I said, well, did you think of forgiving them? All very difficult. I said, well, stop saying it's difficult. You know, life is a choice, people. It's always a choice. So I said to her, you could choose to see that any way you want. Why would you want to see it in a negative view instead of putting a positive spin on it? Put a positive spin on everything. That's what I think we're here to do, and not buy into all this stuff. And of course, don't blame God that your life is not turning out the way you expect. Do not do that to yourself. And don't go around telling other people that, because it's boring. absolutely. No, it is. I have people, I don't talk to them anymore because they want to talk about something that happened to them 30 years ago. I'm not interested in what happened 30 years ago. I'm not interested in what happened 3 minutes ago. I'm only interested in the present moment and this very moment, you know. And I'm learning to do that. First, I thought I was coming down with early onset Alzheimer's because I can go out for breakfast in the morning with friends, and by noon, I can't remember what it did. And I say to myself, not necessary. It's not necessary to rehash everything. I had a wonderful breakfast. They were wonderful people. Now it's over. Now I'm ready for something else. Now I'm ready for something else. You see? The mind loves to clutter. It loves to do that. I don't clutter my mind with all that stuff anymore. I had a wonderful time then. Now that's it. Then people call. I don't say, well, I was at the breakfast with Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I did this, that. Who wants to hear that stuff? I want to know what you're thinking right here and right now. I want to know what's going on in your consciousness. Do you have a consciousness of love? Do you have a consciousness of well-being? You have to set that up. And you don't set it up when you talk to all those people that are out there, because there's more doomers and gloomers out there than you can shake a stick at. And they can explain why they're that way. Well, I said, don't bother. I don't want to hear it. You do not have to explain that, any of that stuff to me. But we are metaphysicians. And we can stop all that. And we can change race mind. Instead of just dilly-dallying and dabbing at this teaching, learn to use it. Learn to use it in your mind so that you can take that mind and make it think the thought that you want to think. Make it think something big. Make it think something great. Don't let it pull you down. Your mind never lifts you up. At least mine never did. Does anyone here have a mind that lifts them up? No. The mind wants to crash in on you, beat you up. Don't let it do that either. Don't let it do that. But once you realize all these things and you have all these tools and so forth to be working with, use them. Use them in your life. You see? You know perfectly well that 6,000 years Christianity has been on this plane of action. Of course, it has split into many different sects. But it's 6,000 years they've been teaching Jesus' sayings, Jesus' teachings. The main teaching was love. Does anyone, with all the churches around there, see anything wonderful going on? Do you see any change whatsoever? No, there's no change going on. I'm hoping, you know, with Pope Francis, I love the Pope, simply because he said, who am I to judge? You know, who am I to judge? And I think we have to take that into our own beings and say, who am I to judge? I didn't make this thing. I'm living here. This is a wonderful experience. This is what we want to know about the earth. This life that we're going through. Not the struggle and strain and all the other stuff and how difficult it is. Life is not difficult. Just sit back and let it happen. It will happen in the best possible way for you. God is not going to do any harm to you whatsoever. This thing called God is your best friend. Your best friend, and you must learn how to communicate with it, how to see it, how to appreciate it. And it's all around, everywhere. Allah told me at dinner tonight how wonderful her place is, filled with flowers, the gardens and all. All those flowers are God. All those flowers are God. I told this story before. When I was a minister, I always wore a boutonniere. People said to me, "Why do you wear that boutonniere?" Well, I told them to remind me that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. We do not live in a hostile world. But yet, they want to tell us that all the time, don't they? That the world is hostile. You have to know that you are part of this world, and this world loves you, this universe loves you, and this thing called God loves you. You cannot affect the mind of God. You can affect your mind. So when you're praying and doing affirmation or spiritual mind treatments, you are treating your mind. You are wanting your mind to change so that it's in line with the mind of God. But you're not going to change the mind of God, people. Give that idea. And I still know many people think they can persuade God to do something. You can't persuade God to do anything. God's doing what God does. Why would you want to tamper with that? No. God loves and loves and loves. The universe loves and loves and loves. So now you must learn to love. And the way we do that is we give up the idea of blame. Blaming anybody for anything. Especially ourselves. Never blame yourself. You see. Say, oops, I made a mistake. And that's all. Be kind. Be gentle to yourself. You know, there was a time when they thought to accomplish anything, you had to be rough and tough with yourself. That never got you anywhere, did it? Being rough and tough? No. Made you worse. Be gentle. And know that everything is coming to you. Everything is coming to you. And it will come. Everything we have is right here in front of us. We just don't see it. All we have to do is change our mind and we would see it. I say. So, that's all we're trying to do. Is learn to change your mind. So that we hold ourselves in the highest of esteem. We must do that for ourselves. You must hold yourself in the highest of esteem. I said last week, you must remember that you are about your Father's business. You are about your Father's business. I love that. It gets me through more things than I can explain to you. You know, I use it all for simple things, you know. For simple things, I use it. And it works every time. I am about my Father's business. You must use that. You could use that, Christine, in the real estate business. When you walk into those people, know, you don't have to announce that you're about your Father's business, but know that you are about your Father's business. And it changes things. It changes things. So many people, myself included, I suppose, this idea that there are different frequencies going on and we must learn to live in that frequency that we want. If we want money, we must live in a frequency of money, of prosperity, of abundance. If it's love or whatever it is, you must live at that level. You must live at the level of your demonstration. You are the one that does that. And I think I told the story years ago. I wanted to be a good reader. I was not a good reader. I had several adult learning disabilities to overcome, but I overcame them, and I never gave up. Now, when I made that affirmation, I am a reader, I didn't then just sit there and do nothing. I am a reader. What does that imply? I went and got a book, and I started to read. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to do something. But I have that wonderful expression, treat and move your feet. You have to do something about it. So many people, they want all that, but they don't do anything. I want a job. I think God's going to give me a job. Well, not if you don't go out and look. Not if you don't. You have to do something. And people say to me, oh, well, God feeds the birds. I said, that's absolutely true, but he doesn't drop the worm in their mouth. They must go look for the worm. The abundance is there, people. You must go look for it. You must go look for it. And it'll come to you. It will come to you. So, try to give up blame. You can see it in your own mind when it's coming. Stop it before it develops into something. Do not breathe life into those thoughts. That's what we do, you know. We breathe life into all this stuff. And before we know it, it's dwelling among us. We don't want it dwelling among us. No, don't do it. So it's blame that we want to eradicate from our consciousness. Eradicate from the world. We want to get rid of that idea. I lived in the land of blame. It is not a pleasant state. It is not a pleasant state. And when you really sit down and think about it, it makes no sense whatsoever. Makes no sense. Your mind wants to tell you that, oh yes, you have to blame that person for this, that, and the other. It makes no sense to do that. We were sold a bill of goods. We were sold a bill of goods. So let's remember that we are always about our Father's business. That we are emissaries of light and love. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.